This is HPR episode 2744 entitled, Yet Another Rambling Drive Into Work. It is hosted by Mr. X and is about 34 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, yet another rambling attempt at making a show on the way into work.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Welcome, Hacker Public Radio audience, and welcome to this podcast. My name is Mr. X, and as per usual, I'd like to start by thanking the people at HPR for making this podcast service available to us all. HPR is a community podcast created by the community for the community, and anyone can contribute. So, it's 25 past 6, I'm trying out my new microphone again, second time I think. I'm in the car driving to work, it's 3 degrees centigrade, travelling currently at 35 miles per hour on the Edinburgh City Bypass, A720. It's supposed to be very busy this morning for some reason. First attempt when I talked about my previous car and this car, which I would imagine you could pick up very little from because the quality was so poor, until Dave Morris suggested that I use the $2 microphone suggested by John Kelp. That's it, well done. Hey John. It's a great tip. Pack of five microphones, $2. Fantastic. Huge improvement. I hope you think so anyway when you're listening back to this. Although I'm very happy with this car, I thought I'd talk about my thoughts on because I was thinking of possibly changing my car, you see. And I am very happy with this car. And in fact, because I'm so happy with it, I think that was part of the reason why I haven't actually yet changed it, because I came very close to changing it and then decided not to bother. In the past I've had, I think when I was quite young, after I passed my test, had a few quite new cars. We're not talking brand new, but fairly new cars. And I think I went to garages and wasted lots of money. Yes, that's perhaps that wasn't so wise. Being a little older and being more of a canny Scot now, I don't tend to do that. Although it's getting more and more difficult to get second-hand cars these days, because everyone buys them on these schemes and nobody sells them privately anymore. So so everyone has a pay-as-you-go car, as I call it. This car, previously I've bought a pile of, a few old bangers, and it's amazed me how reliable they've been and how long they've lasted. The previous focus I had was among the best, whereby it lasted almost 5 years. Well, it lasted 5 years and it was still going, and I didn't need to get rid of it. And 170,000 miles on the clock, I think it was. A cheap car can still be very reliable if you choose carefully. I had a bad car so far. In fact, some of my newer cars were less reliable. I had a Renault Shamaz, how do you pronounce it? And it wasn't terribly reliable, much, much newer than this car, a good number of years ago. So anyway, the car I was contemplating buying was slightly unusual, and I guess one of the reasons that people buy this kind of car, you could argue, is to make them feel good about themselves and want to try something new, and saving the planet and all this sort of stuff. And that's can become very political, and I'm not going to talk about any of that. But it was contemplated getting a Nissan Leaf and pure electric car, and I went to one of the local garages and test drove a Nissan Leaf, and it was a virtually brand new one, and it was the 30 kilowatt hour battery that. It's a slightly bigger one, because they started off with a 24 kilowatt hour battery, but the bigger this one was brand new, it was a 30 kilowatt hour. And the Nissan program is just incredible, because I went to the garage and I thought, I'm going to have to sort of fill in the forms. I'm not really sure how serious I am about buying a car, but I'd quite like to try one out. So I went down there, and a wee few minute chat, and then straight in the car, and that was it. And off you go then, and take it out for a couple of hours or whatever. We're not in a hurry, so you can take it longer if you want, sort of thing. I thought, goodness sake, that's incredible. Because I have in the past, one of the times I was when I was looking for this car, I did contemplate going to a garage. Luckily, I didn't do that, and. They were saying, you need to fill in the forms and show you that you're serious about buying a car before we'll let you take the car out in question. So I even had to pick my car, and I thought, I want to make sure I'm comfortable with the car, that the seating position's correct, comfortable, and the steering wheel's the right height and all this sort of stuff, because I've had cars where I've bought them in the past and it's a disaster, and I found it very uncomfortable, and I actually had to get rid of a car because of that once. So I couldn't believe that I just walked into the garage, left my car, jumped in this other car, and off I went. And it was such an amazing experience that it basically sold me, and I thought, this is fantastic. The 30 kilowatt hour Leaf has 100 mile range, real life 100 mile range. There's a new Leaf out now, which is that a 40 kilowatt hour battery? I'm not sure what the range of that is. And it's obviously way outside my budget. So the one I was thinking of buying would be a 3-year-old Leaf, and it was the 24 kilowatt hour battery. I remember a real life range of about 80 miles. I mean, you probably would get 100 miles if you were very careful. It was good conditions and all that, but it might even drop slightly below 80 miles in very bad conditions, very cold, using the heater a lot and whatnot. But my typical commute is just over 30 miles, so that's easily achievable, even with a 24 kilowatt hour version. So that really wasn't an issue. And if it was mandated that we all had to go with electric cars, or then a lot of people could choose to do that, because the vast majority of people travel about 30-40 miles a day. There are others who don't, obviously. Certainly in the UK, I don't know about the other countries, but there are people who do travel much longer journeys than that, and it wouldn't be a suitable car for them. And then there's other reasons they may not have, maybe they might not be able to park their car and plug it in at night because they maybe live in flats or something or whatever. There's also reasons why people couldn't choose something like that. But the actual experience of driving the car was really quite impressive. Super smooth, super quiet. I drive an automatic, so it's quite smooth anyway. Very quiet, very smooth. I thought the car would be quite slow and sluggish, and I was surprised. It was really punchy. Much more so than this car. I think it's the low down torque is way greater than this 1.6 Focus, and it just seems effortless when you're overtaking. When I was on the city bypass on the car, I only took it about 65 miles an hour. That's generally speed I tend to drive it on the bypass anyway. I think I'll do about 80 miles an hour if you really want to, but obviously that I'll chew through your range dramatically, reducing it. I just couldn't believe what a really comfortable drive it was, and how nice it was. And so, in the UK, there's a 2K government incentive to, I think it's a 2K. And also, Nissan at that time was doing a 1K trade-in scheme for any trade-in car that was over a certain age. And this being 11 years old, I had to have it over so many months, so that, I didn't just buy it just for the sake of it, and I've had it 2 years, so that was fine as well. So it was probably the best time to change and go for an EV if I was going to do that EV electric vehicle. But I didn't. Now, I mean, the thing came in at, by the time I got all these deals and whatnot, I think the price kind of, was either £8,000 or £9,000, something like that. Now that's way more than I would normally spend on a car. This cost me £2,700 a couple of years ago. Incidentally, they were going to give me £700 for this car. It is 11 years old, so I wasn't going to quibble necessarily about that. But the thing is that this car is costing me roughly £1,500-ish a year for fuel. and it's something like £250 for road tax. So that all adds up. So you're thinking, well, that's even more incentive. Why didn't you jump at it, Mr. X? Are you mad? Well, maybe I'm mad. But the thing about the Leafs currently is that the depreciation is quite horrendous on a Leaf. That's the first thing. And now that in itself shouldn't be a problem because I would be planning on keeping it for a few years anyway. Because I don't mind having old cars, since this one's 11 years old. But the other thing is that as the car ages, the battery range decreases. And there's a whole host of conversations and forums about what basically causes this, or how to minimise it, I should say, rather than what causes it. What's the main parameter that affects the battery? You know, is it how many times you charge it? Is it using a fast charger? Is it using a slow charger? Is it leaving it fully charged for too long? Is it time or is it charges? I think it seems like age, as much as anything else, age and using fast chargers and using and the number of charges. So I mean, the thing is, are you better to charge it every night, even though you don't use all the range, or are you better to try and flatten the battery? There's all these sort of questions, you know. And I worked out that, you know, I maybe need to keep it 3-4 years before it would pay off the difference in what this car would cost, fuel cost and everything, and this new car. Maybe not quite as much as that, but maybe 3 years anyway. Now, if it's 3 years old, by that point, that would mean it was 6 years old. I bought it 3 years old, and then in 3 years' time, it would be six. So by the time you do that, it's, right, by the time it gets to that age, it may be down to a real-life range in the worst of conditions. Now, maybe with 30 miles, I'm not sure. I really don't know. I haven't really got a complete answer for this yet. But if the real-life range was 30 miles, that would effectively make the car no use for me anymore. Well, I guess I could stop off and give it a top-up in a way, but that would just be ridiculous. And my place of work doesn't have a charger, so I couldn't charge it up there. But this is really all down to the fact that I'm too tight and too mean. And if you've got an old second-hand car and it's reliable, it has to be reliable, then it's a fantastic way to, fantastically cheap way of motoring. And possibly the older and cheaper the car is, the better value you're getting. Maybe that's where I'm coming from this. As I say, the previous car cost me £1,700 and I had it for 4.5 years. But I certainly think that, of course, the other thing is that exactly how secure my job is, I guess we're all, a lot of people are in this situation. Things are changing at work a little bit, and there's always a possibility that things could happen. And then you back your mind, well, you think, well, if I had to get a job elsewhere, then it would be a bit tricky. We've got a second car, so if things stay the way they are just now, then an electric car would be absolutely doable with no hassle whatsoever. And then the longer journeys, we could take the second car. But the main commuting car back forward to work for me could be the EV. I reckon the electricity costs for a year would be about £300 as opposed to £1,500, plus you're not spending £240 on road tax. That's free as well. So there's an awful lot going for it. And I was very, very close to doing it. You know, it's whether it's my meanness or being scared of taking the plunge, it's probably a bit of both, really. Another thing in the back of my mind was, well, you know, this new Leaf is coming out. So the 30 kilowatt Leaf, I think it came out in 2015. So because this is 2017, that means it's 2 years old, and people tend to have them on a pay-as-you-go scheme for 3 years. So I'd be unlikely to get a 30 kilowatt Leaf. And the 30 kilowatt Leaf with a 100 mile range. Oh, that's just what you do there. The 30 kilowatt Leaf with a 100 mile range, after 3 years, would still easily do, 3 or 4 years, would still easily do the 30 miles. But the 24, just a wee bit closer to maybe by the time the battery wears and all that. So I was really, would really like the 30 kilowatt hour battery. I think actually where I was coming from. But it's too expensive, so it's out of my price range. So I thought if I wait a year or so, then 30 kilowatts will become available to me. And also, because the Unison Leaf available, the 30 kilowatt will drop in price. The 24 will be even cheaper still, because everyone will want the new one. There seems to be a great deal of excitement about the new Leaf, and it seems like they're flying off the shelves, basically. Compared to what they expected, anyway. I mean, EVs are still very much a minority car. I mean, when you look at the forums, people that have got them, they're just absolutely delighted with them. You know, so it's really practical and super cheap to run. Super reliable and all the rest of it, just like having a regular car. It's easy for me to say that because I haven't got one. But certainly, seriously considering my next car to be a Nissan Leaf. And of course, after coming very, very close, I mean really close to picking up the phone and asking to the garage to get one for me, I changed my mind, I chickened out. And at that time, I was finding my own car particularly comfortable to drive and particularly nice, which made it even more difficult. I just thought, well, I haven't had this car a couple of years. I've not had my money's worth yet. it's me being a tight Scot. We're not all like that, you know. It's just some of us. And we don't all have, we don't all wear kilts. We don't all play the bagpipes. I don't play the bagpipes, incidentally. I can badly play the accordion a little bit. The squeeze box, we call it. Quite like haggis. There's a particular delicacy that the local cooperative do, and I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm nearly at work, but I started to carry on. There's a particular delicacy, Dave, you must try it. It's really good. Everybody else in the UK must give it a go. It's haggis pizza. And I don't have any shares in the company or anything like that. Just in case you're wondering, haggis pizza, absolutely fantastic. Possibly unhealthy, in fact, almost definitely unhealthy. But and I don't have it a huge amount of times, but every now and again, quite a few months, it's a nice treat, just saying, haggis pizza. So, there we go. Is there anything else I was going to say about the EV? Yeah, you can control it from an app on your phone. I haven't got a smartphone, so there you go. I've got a tablet, I guess. So you can set it to heat itself up in the morning, so you jump into a lovely warm hot car. It's all defrosted and all that, and that saves the battery as well, because it uses the mains when it's plugged in to do all that. Obviously, I wouldn't get that when I come leave work, because I could actually, but that would drain the battery, I guess. The heater in this current car is actually surprisingly good. After a minute or two, I'm getting warm air out the vent. It's really quite quick. I think the quickest car I ever had was a Citroen, or the Citroen 2, a Citroen 2C, Citroen ZX, BX, ZX. It's the one with the hydraulic suspension, and within seconds you seem to get hot air out the air vents. I don't know how on earth they achieved that. That was very nice. But anyway, well, that's me just pulling into the gate. That was just a wee filler, because I thought I might as well keep talking. But yeah, it was quite a shock to drive this Leaf, and how silky smooth, how quiet, and window down here. Present my pass. Roll the window up. Wait for the green light. Okay. And off we go. Wearing a creaky leather jumper? No, leather jacket. I don't have leather underpants either, so just not today anyway. So a creaky leather jacket, so hopefully that isn't too distracting. Yeah, I think that they've kind of gone. They've tried to make it as the Leaf's been going for a while, and they tried to make it as much like a normal car as they can. Even to the dashboard, you've got this speedometer in the middle, and there's two gauges. It's like fuel and temperature, except the. One, the temperature one is the temperature of the battery, because it's not an engine, obviously, and the other one is the charge state. So they even try and make it look like a conventional car. Just trying to park up here. Don't think I'm very straight here. Just try that. Yeah. There we go. What a creaky jacket. Reversing beepers. Where would one be without reversing beepers? I don't know. Yes. Actually, my wife's car's got a reversing camera on it, and I prefer the beepers, to tell you the truth, because it means you can look all around yourself, around all the windows and mirrors while you're doing all your manoeuvring, and you don't get distracted by looking at a screen. That's a bit lethal, really. That's not a good idea. It's very, very easy to take your eye off the road as you're reversing and look at the screen. And if somebody's approaching from the side or something, you might not see them. So yeah, I think the beepers are better. I guess the best of all worlds is having both, I guess. But just to use the camera when you're just as you're about up against the car you're reversing against, really, or the object. Anyway, what a blether. How did I get into that? Well, that's me at work, folks. hope you enjoyed this podcast, this rambling nonsense about my thoughts on a new car, which I'm not now not getting. Okay, so I'll just interrupt here, and this recording was made back in November 2017, and it was sitting on my digital recorder, my dictaphone thingy, and I kind of came across it and decided to publish it, but to HPR, but in the meantime, things have moved on. Obviously, things have moved quickly in the EV market, and my thoughts have changed somewhat. I've put some of these thought changes in the end of the show notes. So the first thing was that I think it was possibly £4,500 grant that was given to EV cars. And it's, although it's just been announced, I think it was today or yesterday, this is the 13th of October as I speak, that the grant for new EVs in the UK has been reduced by £1,000 from £4,500 to £3,500. The second point I was going to say was that I think when I was looking at my car, the government and Nissan together had a £2,000 contribution scheme when you traded in an older car, for a second-hand Leaf sort of thing. I suspect this is no longer available now that the Leaf is more popular. That's point two. Point three, fuel costs have gone up, and I may have miscalculated. I think that the true annual fuel bill is nearer to about £2,000 now, not £1,500. One, two, point three, point four. Is that the road tax for the Nissan Leaf is zero. I don't think I mentioned that here in the UK anyway. Point five, because supply and demand, the depreciation situation has completely changed for the Nissan Leaf. Had I bought this Leaf in November 2017, it would now, as of October 2018, be worth more today than it was then. Only time will tell how it all pans out. Things are changing rapidly. Is this point five? I'm not sure. I've kind of lost count. After further investigation, it looks like battery degradation is less than I first thought, and it would likely still be in pretty good condition at 6 years old, particularly in a cooler country like here in the UK and Scotland. Another point, there has been some controversy about the new 40 kilowatt Leaf, which may also impact in the older Leaf, making them perhaps more appealing rather than less appealing, and that's contributing to the high demand for the older 30 and 24 kilowatt Leafs. I'll put a couple of links about that. It's to do with fast charging and passive cooling when you're charging it, as opposed to some other manufacturers. With the increased popularity of the older 24 and 30 kilowatt Leafs, Nissan may no longer be so keen to give a no-quibble test drive. So I think with all these things, I think it's looking increasingly like I may have made the wrong decision. Oops. I shall return you back to the podcast. So I hope you enjoyed it. And if you want to contact me, I can be contacted at MrX@HPR@googlemail.com. That's MrXATHPR, the at symbol, googlemail.com. So until next time, thank you and goodbye. Where's the stop button? Listen, oh, it's here somewhere. Listen to me.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.